Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Taking your thoughts all show long at 615-737-1025. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joey Dwyer will be with us later in the hour. We'll get into some Vanderbilt hoops with him. So looking forward to that a little bit later this hour. The Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. All that ahead here on the program. Joe Bradley Chubb added to the list yesterday. It was a busy day for the Miami Dolphins. You know, they cut Bradley Chubb, Tyreek Hill out the door, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine out the door. A lot of stuff going on with the Miami Dolphins yesterday. And we've talked a lot about, obviously, free agent wide receivers that are going to be out there and available. We'll see who actually makes it to free agency. It's an interesting crop of potential free agents on the edge rusher front as well. And I'm looking at it, and I'm wondering how many of these guys make sense for the Titans to pursue. I mean, on the surface, you look at it and you say, well, they all make sense for the Titans to pursue because they don't have any edge rushers that you feel good about. And I understand that. You know, they do have the number four pick coming up with an opportunity to potentially select one in the draft. So you have to keep that in mind. But now, you know, Bradley Chubb has been added to the mix. He's 29 years old. He's going to be out there. Trey Hendrickson's, what's going to happen with him? Like, does he get tagged by Cincinnati or do they just let him go to free agency? I mean, he's 31 years old. I mean, the projected market value for him on SpoTrack right now is $25 million per year. So at his age, are you willing to do that if you're the Titans? I'm interested to see how that goes. But there are all sorts of interesting names. I mean, Draymond Jones, it's interesting to look at him. His projected market value right now is at $10.3 million. So a nice year for Draymond Jones last year. There's interesting options, a lot of which, Joe, are like older guys. Like Joey Bosa is going to be out there. Danico Autry at age 35 is a free agent. Going to be interesting to see what happens with him. You do have some of your younger guys like Odafe Owe at 27 years old, coming off a big year for the Chargers. What happens with him? His projected market value, I think, is $19.3 million per year. So any names really jump out to you when it comes to the free agent crop of edge rushers, and how active do you think the Titans should be in pursuing maybe some of these bigger names at edge rusher that are going to cost a pretty good amount of money that the Titans do have to spend?
Yeah, I'm not against going after big fish in any position if it makes sense. But like you said, a lot of these guys are older. So I'm looking at how many guys are there? Some guys in here that aren't as old, who are more in like mid to late 20s, who, you know, maybe, and a lot of the guys who are like that, usually if you're good enough and you're that, you're not here, you don't get to here. But looking at guys like, okay, I don't know, Malcolm Kuntz from Vegas, who's 27. Gross Matos.
Our guy.
Our guy from the Niners out there. At 20, you know, just about 28. What about Joseph Asai, the kid out of Texas? He was a big talking point during that draft, you know, from the Bengals. His market value stated to be about $9.2 million, 25 years old. You know, are there some – Joe Tryon. What about a Joe Tryon? You know, who, again, this is a – I mean, he has been disappointing. He's 26. It would not be a big spend. To me, if they could get a couple guys – off this list, you know, Quiddy Pay. Now that's an interesting one. I don't know where the Colts are with him, but 27 years old, market value stated here to be high 17. So you're talking about he'd be one of the bigger ticket items. I mean, we're talking about the Colts, like, tagging Pierce. I don't know. Are you tagging a guy like that? Probably not, because you're not paying him that much, but he could be a really interesting player. Guy who we talked about a ton, who has been disappointing also, but still could upgrade your situation. Is a guy. What about Aziz Ojulari?
Yeah.
Is he – what does he have at 25 years old? You know, so and you don't want to get into this whole thing with, like, a bunch of disappointing guys just because they're younger, but I feel like there's – on this list, there are some people who can help you, can upgrade you. We're not going to be huge spends, but give you some bodies and some rotation there. Chaisson, what about Vrabel's guy Chaisson? What's the situation there? He's supposed to be, you know, and he's about a $9 million AAV anticipated value. So there's some of them are a little bit, and then, yeah, like you said, you have your obvious ones. I mean, I don't know. Who the heck is going to go after Trey Hendrickson? It just doesn't seem like a Titans move, because that's like, to me, that's a team that's ready right now that says, okay, let's go ahead and we got the space, or we don't, and we're going to kick the can, but it's worth it to try to add this guy and make a run.
I mean, the thing about the Titans situation, you know, with their cap right now is, I mean, if they really want to, they can go spin on a higher ticket item and free agency at edge rusher and still draft somebody at number four and also go pay for a wide receiver. Like, they can do all of that if they want to. Now, just because you have all this money, I still think, you know, it behooves you as a general manager to make sure you're spending it on the right people, right? So that's going to be Mike Borgonzi's job to determine that heading into the offseason here. But, you know, there's nothing to stop the Titans for going to, after one of these big-ticket free agent items at edge rusher and drafting, you know, a David Bailey at number four. Like, you can do that if you're the Titans. I'm really interested to see what their approach is. And does the draft, knowing that the draft is going to present you with an opportunity, like, they're going to be able to draft, if they want to, one of Arvell Reese, David Bailey, Reuben Bain, right? Like, they're going to. Because Mendoza's going at number one. So one of those guys is going to be there at number four. And that doesn't mean you have to go that way, but if they want to, they can. So how much does that factor into how they decide to allocate their money? Like, if they've, you know, I would assume at this point they're pretty heavily into their draft stuff as well as their free agent board. So if they've got a pretty good idea that edge rusher is going to be too good of an option to pass up at number four, does that affect what they do in free agency at edge rusher? Does it make them more aggressive for a wide receiver when it comes to free agency? Like, I don't know, but that part of it is going to be interesting to see how that plays out, given the timing of all of it, because some of these needs that we're talking about with the Titans may not be needs anymore by the time free agency is gone and the draft gets here.
Yeah, it's always interesting to think about draft anticipation affecting free agency strategy, but it is possible that at four someone could want to get in there. I don't know for what exactly, but it's possible. It's possible that someone's in love with someone who is there, and they're not going to be able to get them if they don't move to that spot. And so then the Titans move down. Like, what if it's too good to pass up? That's why I think you just have to be really careful about doing things in free agency, because you expect this or that to happen in the draft. And they should be adding at both spots, and they should be open to drafting to either spot. Like, that's the need is severe enough at both of them that and again, we've talked about receiver. Like, they're not going to get a number one receiver, and they're not going to get their best long-term pass rusher out of this, you wouldn't think, out of either of these free agency groups, you know. But they need people at both. So, they may have a real strong idea here in a couple weeks of who they love in the draft. But you still also have that whole process, and that can change your mind. The combine can change your mind, right? The interviews can change your mind. So, and, you know, there's film has been watched, but there's still going to be more to come. So I feel like you have to have an open mind on the draft, and you just have to, you want to see him spend for sure. But like you said, you can easily take that cap space and use it unwisely and be in a bad spot. And we saw this with the Titans a couple years ago.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Some options on the table for the Titans when it comes to free agency at edge rusher. Anybody stand out to you? What should the Titans do in free agency with all the money that they've got to spend. We'll take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, Smashville Live, presented by Gary Force Acura, returns tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game, live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. The special guest this week, General Manager Barry Trotz. That's tomorrow night at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs and only on 102.5 The Game. Also, make sure you check out Vanderbilt Baseball today, taking on Eastern Michigan at Hawkins Field at 4:30. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan and the Game Nashville app. Coverage presented by Gary Force Acura. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe One Texter says, I think I'd spend money if I were the Titans on a quality offensive lineman so I don't have to go draft one. They still need help with that offensive line, and that'll improve everything. You know, we've talked about the tackle part of that. They do need a guard, you know. Like, it's going to be interesting to see what they do at guard. I mean, Zeitler did not work out last year. So, you know, they do have Jackson Slater there. Maybe that's the route that they go. But, you know, regardless, they're going to need another guard of some kind to throw in there on top of all that at this point.
Yeah. If you're talking tackle, quality offensive lineman, again, you can work around the edges on that a little bit and have someone who gets in the rotation and you can throw in there, but you're not getting a starting tackle in free agency. So that's where my point has been made. We don't need to belabor the point. But seriously, like it appears, and people have made this point to me, and that's fine. Like, it appears that these edges, at least, I don't know about the receiver. I'm still a little skeptical, a little sketch on a receiver at four, but that the edges, at least, as overall players, are going to outrate the offensive tackles. And then it's very simple. Then you go with that. But next year, just understand, I'm fast-forwarding to next year when we get to talk about the draft for months. We'll be talking about an offensive tackle. We will.
Yeah, probably so.
Because Dan Moore is average at best. What's that?
Unless Mandor has a great year.
Yeah, unless somehow you get some bolts on that thing, you know. Get a deadbolt, but right now it is a swinging, you know, screen door. It's like my screen door on my porch that, you know, the little latch broke, yep. And yeah, people can just walk in now. I should have said that on the radio, actually.
Over infused with WD-40, that thing just there's no creakiness to it at all. It just flies right open.
This is like one of those doggy doors, you know, little plastic flap. You know, it's not that bad, but yeah, we're gonna be talking about attack on this. That's fine. Again, my whole thing too is like, if your most valuable commodity in the organization is Cam Ward, like, I'd sacrifice a win or two this year to protect him, right? But again, doesn't appear that way. It looks like there's a ton of tackles in this draft, but not like the, oh, absolutely, this guy is gonna, you know, for sure gonna be a superstar. Now, maybe the Titans do move down. Maybe Subman does want to get into four, and then I think the conversation gets a little bit more relevant. We'll see.
One texter says, as a Niners fan, I've watched every snap of Saleh's defense over the years, and with his wide nine front four, when Bosa goes down, it's night and day different. An elite edge is such a necessity. He rarely blitzes. You have to get home with four. I'd be shocked if they don't get an edge at four and go after a big-name free agent. Plus, go look at the draft capital the Niners spent on the D-line during Saleh's years. I know it's not just his picks, but he had to have an influence there. That's from an unnamed texter.
Do it. Look at what Jeff Simmons did last year, and now imagine Jeff Simmons if all of a sudden he's surrounded by multiple edge guys who are
good.
Are a problem.
Yeah.
like why not, like, accentuate the best player you have, period, in what is clearly his prime. You have to say he's in his prime the way he played last year, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm all for that. And if you have that kind of – if you can get front four pass rush consistently, everything else gets so much easier on defense.
Well, and to that point, like, I think you can make the argument to make that more of a priority given the fact that – I mean, what's their secondary going to be right now? I don't know. I mean, that's going to be part of the plan this offseason, is filling in those gaps. But in the meantime, like – to me, regardless of what you're doing at cornerback, you want to find a way to make the job easier for those guys. We'll get some edge rushers in here along with Simmons that can get after the quarterback. Like, I think that would be the way to go, because, I mean, it's not impossible that they're going to find in my opinion, three starting level corners. You know, I know TD was talking about Marcus Harris last week. If he ends up being good enough to be a starter, that's great. I don't know that I would count on that if I'm the Titans. So I think you need to go find three starting level corners some way, somehow this offseason. And I just think that's going to be hard to do.
Yeah.
So to mitigate some of that, go get some edge rushers that get after the quarterback.
Yeah. And honestly, like if you get two and you have to go this year with him in a bigger role than he should be, okay.
Sure.
I mean, like you're not going to fix everything. You're not going to fix everything. But if you get two and you fix the pass rush, then I bet you things look better.
DK and Mount Juliet says, they got all the cap space because they can't draft well, so they need to spend as much money as possible in free agency and finally get some good draft picks that they could sign to another contract. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, they have not had very many draft picks lately that have warranted second deals. There's no doubt about that, which is how you end up with the cap space that they've got at the moment.
It's pretty simple. The teams that are struggling out there, look at their draft classes, last five draft classes. If you really want to look at any of these teams who are doing well or doing poorly, there's signings, there's like Seattle getting Darnold, things like that. But it's pretty much – the draft is a pretty strong correlation to success. And I do think that this last class, I don't know how many second deals we're talking about. Obviously, you hope that the top pick is a second deal guy. We'll see. But I think there's definitely some potential for some guys to be here a while from that class, even if they're not stars.
And by the way – and this is kind of dating back to last year, and it's going to end up being a problem. Like, we're talking about edge rusher. It's like, well, they may need to go spend high-dollar money on an edge rusher and draft one at four. And it's like, well, they could do that. They also drafted one last year in the second round. Like, where does he fit into all this?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, he's got to be something for them, right? And I know that he was hurt for a lot of this last year. And frankly, the reports before that weren't overly encouraging by him. But, like, it would be great if next season rolls around and early in camp you're like, hey, look, you know, Femi Oladejo looks pretty good out there. That'd be nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of history repeating itself kind of from 10 years ago. You hope, one, that turns into the Titans start winning. But, obviously, you have the young quarterback. You want that to be a better outcome. But there's a lot of things that are similar. You don't want him to be Kevin Dodd 10 years later.
Right.
Second-round pick that was just a complete flame-out. Because it's just, again, the Titans back then got through that because they made enough other good choices. You can survive that. But, yeah, to even have him at this point be a member of the rotation who you feel okay putting out there, I think that's a minor win next year, which isn't great. It doesn't speak well of that being a second-round pick, but I don't know what else to go on. Like, of course, everybody hopes he takes this huge jump, but that's what it is. It's a huge jump you're asking for.
Oh, and again, you know, we've gone through this entire conversation, and it's almost like, oh, yeah, they got a second-round pick from last year that's in the fold in this, too. So what's that going to look like? I mean, it's a completely different defense. You know, maybe Robert Saleh looks at Oladejo and says, you know what, he's got a lot of tools that I can work with there. And maybe that factors into their decision-making this offseason. But I'll tell you this. I would be worried on how productive they're going to be from an edge rusher situation if the plan this offseason ends up being, well, we're going to have Femi Oladejo on one side, and we're going to draft one at number four, then put him on the other side and hope that works out. I think that's a dangerous game to play.
Right. You want Femi Oladejo to be down the list and, like, earn your spot in here. Because we just signed a couple guys who have skins on the wall, and we drafted this guy. Nah, it takes pressure off him. But, yeah, if you're counting on him being a starter, like, you know, Marcus Harris being a starter, that's probably a little bit – like, he should probably be your fourth corner, right?
Yeah.
But you can survive that. Femi Oladejo being a starting edge on a defense right now, again, unless there's just this massive transformation, is just a bad idea.
Craig says, could y'all stop with the you can't fix everything in one offseason? You've been saying that the last two or three offseasons. By now, they should have fixed something.
I mean,
well, I don't know what to tell you, Craig.
What do you want me to tell you?
That's why they've been 3-14 the last 2 years. They haven't fixed enough.
Yeah, we know they stink. It is true. Have they fixed anything? I mean, left guard is good. I think they've got a good middle linebacker, so that's something
they've
new.
Drafted extremely
they have drafted
poorly.
A quarterback.
Yeah,
they have. So they may have fixed quarterback. But, yeah, I don't know what to tell you, buddy. They stink.
615-737-1025.
Thanks for the scones, though.
Is our phone number, 615.
This is a low T alert.
737-1025. We'll never see any of that again. Joey Dwyer will be with us coming up next. We'll get into Vanderbilt basketball with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking a little Vanderbilt basketball. And to help us do that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Joey Dwyer to the program from Vanderbilt on SI. Joey, good morning. How are we doing? What's going on?
Good. Good. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. Love the show.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Joey, let's just start on the season that Vanderbilt has put together to this point. We're obviously looking forward to a big matchup here against Tennessee this weekend, but they got Missouri coming up before that on the road. What do you make of the job that Mark Byington has done in the season that Vanderbilt has put together to this point?
Yeah, I mean, he's done a fantastic job at 2-2, and I mean, they're on pace to break the wins record in program history. They could get 26 or 27 wins on the year, and that would be the best in program history if they could do it. And, I mean, without Duke Miles and now Frankie Collins since December, this team is 4-1, and I really, really, my evaluation paused on them at that point. In my mind, it's like,
we're going to try to get Joey back on the phone there and get that reestablished there. But it looks like we're having some technical difficulties there.
Joey, if you're in a helicopter, I first of all, I admire your courage. hopefully that's just a bad connection.
And we'll get him back on the line there and see how that works. But it did sound like
Joey
does
a great job.
He was like rappelling there from the side of the road.
It could be too, yeah. Hang gliding? Possibly.
Maybe so. You know, these young kids, they do
exactly.
Able to do all this stuff.
I tell you. Yeah, no doubt.
They're able to do all this stuff. By the way, we worried about the trap game at all for Vanderbilt against Missouri before Tennessee comes in?
Well, Missouri is on the bubble. Missouri is a talented team. I think it's, you know, I'm a little disappointed in Missouri this year. Yeah, it's absolutely a dangerous game.
So let's head back to our phone line. Welcome Joey back into the program. Joey, we got you?
Yeah, you guys got me this
time.
There we go.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, so let's just pick back up there, like the job that Byington has done and how well-positioned Vanderbilt is. What do you make of that and just kind of their outlook heading into the last part of the regular season here?
Yeah, hopefully it's better this time. But, I mean, he's done a tremendous job. It's year two. Obviously, year one, they had a pretty limited roster. He won 20 games. This year, they've already surpassed the win total. They did that on Saturday against Texas A&M. And right now, they're on track to break the program wins record in a season if they get to 26 or 27. I mean, you're looking at a season that they've never had in program history. They'd be a top five seed at that point. I don't think they're going to win the SEC regular season. It seems like Florida's got it all but locked down at this point, but what they've been able to do without Duke Miles and Frankie Collins in the lineup, two of their three ball handlers, both guys that averaged over four assists a game. I mean, the real appeal of them was that they had dynamic guard play. Besides Tyler Tanner, they really haven't had that, and they've still found a way to win. Without them, they're 4-1 without them. I mean, Byington has done a tremendous job. He should be up for National Coach of the Year, and I don't know that I exactly thought I'd be saying that going into the year.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, the other day they beat Texas A&M. Tanner gets the tech and gets his fourth foul, and they're basically playing with no guards, and they're still hanging against a team that presses, and it's like, man, pretty impressive stuff. But you mentioned those two guys, Joey, Duke Miles, Frankie Collins. Mark Byington's answer after the game the other day was interesting to me because it sounds very different with the two guys. Duke Miles,
right.
He's expected back soon. He had his knee cleaned up. I don't know. You tell me. It just seems to me like back for the Tennessee game would make sense. Meanwhile, Frankie Collins, it's been an interesting situation. I mean, look, everybody's minds go to sometimes players get hurt now in this era, and it's like, well, shut it down and you can have another bite at the apple. And I don't know that that's happening here, but it's certainly that's an obvious point of speculation. You also tweeted something last night where Frankie Collins, I guess, posted somewhere about a positive development. So what is your expectation with those two situations?
Yeah, first Duke Miles, which honestly I think is the more important one right now just because I think he gives them a different dimension. I think Frankie Collins helps, but I think Duke Miles, just off the bounce ability, makes them a different team and a more dynamic team. I'm thinking Tennessee is probably somewhat of a realistic expectation there. Mark Byington said a week or two ago that he was back to jogging. I expect Duke Miles to be back at some point soon, like we had said. The Frankie Collins situation, like you mentioned, really odd at this point. Mark Byington has been very vague throughout essentially his entire time addressing the injury. Right away, he just said lower body injury, didn't put a timeline on it. Turns out the timeline was 2 to 4 weeks. I think we're at 8 weeks now, and Frankie Collins has practiced. And I also think there's some context missing there. Frankie Collins did practice a few weeks ago, and from what I understand, there was some sort of setback. I believe it related to some swelling in his knee, which I think is pretty common with that type of thing. The expectation I have is not that he's going to shut it down for the year, but, I mean, you never know at this point. There is incentive for him to shut it down and get an extra year of eligibility, make some more money. But from what I understand, that's not necessarily Frankie's intention right now. But, I mean, we'll see. You're right. It is interesting how Mark Byington has been so vague addressing Frankie Collins' injury, and even has had maybe some backhanded comments in the direction of the recovery, or maybe not as Frankie directly, but just kind of how the process has played out. But, I mean, they're a different team if they have both of them. They're much stronger defensively in the backcourt with them. And Mark Byington's teams have always been better with two point guards. With Duke Miles and Frankie Collins, he's got three guys who can handle the ball and play out of ball screens. I mean, that makes them a very different team than what they are right now.
Well, Joey, let's play that out. Let's say they get those two guys back. How dangerous is this team come tournament time in your mind?
Yeah, I think their three-game losing streak a few weeks ago taught us that they're a little bit matchup-dependent. I think they struggle with teams that can get their bigs in foul trouble. I think they're a little less deep in the front court than they initially thought they would be. Mason Nicholson, the Jacksonville State transfer, I expect to be done for the year with some extenuating circumstances there. And I mean, you're really left with Jalen Washington playing the five. He's the only real true five besides Jaden Leverett, the freshman, who frankly isn't ready to play NCAA tournament minutes right now. And then the idea was Devin McLaughlin be able to slide to the four. I don't know if that's going to happen, but like we had mentioned, the guard play is dynamic and they run good actions. I think they have an identity. They know how to win. They always seem to make plays late in games. So if I'm a Vanderbilt fan, I'd be a little worried if they ran up on a team like Texas where their bigs are really prone to getting other bigs in foul trouble. But I don't know that there's a whole lot of a ceiling on them right now, just because Tyler Tanner and Duke Miles is a backcourt. It's just so dynamic, and on any given night, they can outplay the other team's guards. And as you guys know, it's a guards game in March and April.
No doubt about it. So we've talked a little bit big picture today, Joey, about, you know, Tennessee. Obviously, it's Tennessee Vanderbilt week, so the program's moving forward and things like that. As you look at Mark Byington, what he's done, which obviously has been tremendous. Like you said, I mean, he should be a National Coach of the Year candidate. Do you think he could be pried away from this job? Do you look at him as a long-term coach here? I know someone on our text line said, you know, watch the NBA for him. I mean, I could certainly see him having success in the NBA. Like, how do you view Mark Byington and the long-term outlook for Vanderbilt?
Yeah, it's a question I've wrestled with a lot over the last year or so. I think last cycle there was some traction around the Virginia job, and I don't know that that was necessarily entirely one-sided with Virginia being interested, but obviously it wasn't possible last year due to the buyout. This year, I don't know that there's going to be a job that opens that would be good enough for him to be interested in at this stage. I mean, Syracuse will open, obviously Kansas State's open, Providence is probably going to open as well. I just don't know that any of those are ones that he's going to leave Vanderbilt for at this stage, especially since the league is a little bit weaker, and it might be weaker next year, and maybe they could make a run again. But I don't know. I do think that if the right opportunity presented itself, he would have to listen. And I know Vanderbilt fans don't want to hear that, but let's say Kansas opens in 2 or 3 years. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be interested in something like that. And if they keep winning at the rate they're winning right now, I mean, I don't understand why he wouldn't be in the mix for it. So I don't know how long he's going to be on West End. I would imagine he'll be there next year, but I'm sure he'll be listening at some point if somebody calls. And if he keeps this up, I mean, Blue Bloods are going to call at some point. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, if you're Vanderbilt and it's a blue blood, it's a blue blood, right? I mean, that's you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to even look at like a Providence or. And I think that at least they're in good shape there. All right, last thing for you, Joey. And we are totally overlooking the Missouri game, by the way, going right to the Tennessee game. But Jalen Carey, is this a thing? You know, he goes to Tennessee and kind of has some comments and things like that. Is this a thing? Is this a deal? Is this a deal in the Vanderbilt locker room? Is this going to be chippy Saturday?
Oh, 100%. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, if you listen to Tyler Nickel went on a live stream with Frankie Collins in the summer and was essentially saying as much, I think there's some real negative energy there between Vanderbilt and Jalen Carey at this point. I think his exit really rubbed a lot of people there the wrong way. I think maybe there's some sour grapes in the Vanderbilt program last year, too, about maybe his maturity level. I've always thought Jalen Carey has a good heart, but, I mean, there's some things that the Vanderbilt staff did not love that Jalen Carey did last year, and obviously his comments in the summer really riled them up as well. So I expect the student section to be all over Jalen Carey on Saturday and expect it to be maybe the harshest Memorial Gym has ever been. It's truly going to be a sight to see, and if we know anything about Jalen Carey, he's going to be emotional, and that could be a great thing for him on Saturday, or it could be something that benefits Vanderbilt like it did when Malik Dia came back to town a few weeks ago. You're right, it's going to be a thing, and it's the story of Saturday, which is pretty hard to do when a good Vanderbilt team matches up with a good Tennessee team. That's how you know the magnitude of this thing.
Yeah, it's going to be spicy. Looking forward to that coming up on Saturday. Joey, thanks as always for your time, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys. Looking forward to hopefully coming back.
Yeah, thanks, Joey. Absolutely. Joey Dwyer does a great job covering Vanderbilt basketball for Vandy on SI. We'll have the Rob rant coming up next. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
1025 The Game. You come for sports takes, you stay for gout updates.
And I promise I don't do drugs, but
why are people still saying stupid crap like this?
I'm sickened either way. I'm just sickened.
It appears.
What's appear mean? It just means it's you dreamed about it and that means it's there, or
we got to maintain our lower bodies a little bit better.
Are we going to wipe it every time? We ass, we in. We love, we ass.
I like that. It appears.
Pound sand to the University of Alabama. It is time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, I'm going to go back to the well again today and complain about the NFL playing international football games. So it looks like, according to reports from your very outlet, The Athletic, that next season's NFL season is going to begin on a Wednesday. All right. So typically the NFL season goes Thursday night football, and the team that just won the Super Bowl is hosting the game, and they kick things off that way, and then we get right into the NFL season. Well, it looks like we're going to have two games during the week this year. Somebody's going to play on Wednesday. Somebody else is going to play on Thursday. And I guess they really haven't determined yet how that's going to go. So I guess we could have the Seahawks hosting a game on that Wednesday, and then the Rams and the 49ers playing in Melbourne, Australia, on Thursday. Or it could be the other way around, with the Melbourne game happening first on Wednesday, and then Seattle with the normal game like set up on that Thursday. So already we're just overpopulating the first week instead of the Friday that they've done the last 2 years, playing a game in Brazil. Now I guess it's going to be Wednesday and Thursday. So I already don't like that. But I tell you what I really don't like about this. You know, we're getting so crazy with this. We got to go play all these games overseas part of this, which is not going anywhere, by the way. I mean, they're just going to play more and more of these overseas. You know what I really hate about this? You know, the NFC West was probably the best division in football last year. You had the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. You had the Rams, probably the second best team in the league. You had the 49ers dealing with a ton of injuries that found their way to double-digit wins in the playoffs. And yet, instead of playing one home game and one road game between the 49ers and the Rams get to host this game over in Melbourne in a divisional matchup and then have to go play in San Francisco later in the year. So San Francisco gets their nice little home game against the Rams. The Rams get to sit back and play their home game in Australia. Now, I understand the L.A. Rams, like, you know, we have seen playoff games that have been played in L.A. where I think they played the Niners. And the state, you looked around SoFi Stadium, you're like, wow, sure are a whole lot of San Francisco 49ers fans in here. Yeah. So I understand, like, the Rams don't necessarily have a great fan base when it comes to, like, some raucous home field advantage or anything. But I think it's so dumb that we're playing divisional games in these international games. I don't like the international games to begin with. I think it's stupid. I heard John Gruden talking about this last week. I understand what the NFL is trying to do. They're trying to grow their footprint and make more money, and they're going to do it and whatever. But just the football purist in me hates the fact that it's like, well, let's spend time going over 9 hours overseas over here to go play a football game and then come back and try to play another one the next week. I think that's really stupid, but that's a losing battle. I'm done fighting it. It is what it is. But can we at least have the good common sense to not play divisional games overseas? I thought we could probably have that, but I guess we can't. This whole thing just infuriates me starting next year.
No, that's a great point. It's like, I mean, the Rams, like next year, the Rams, you know, they played the Bills. So it looks like they've got the Bills like the extra game. They also play. It's the AFC West. So, yeah, have Rams-Bills or have Rams-Chargers be that game. That's a very attractive game. Then you don't mess with the divisional race, which is the best division in football. And you got three, like, legit championship contenders in that division. So now, yeah, they don't have the greatest home field, but it's still – they would absolutely prefer to play the Niners in L.A. Yeah. in their stadium than, oh, here's your home game.
In Australia.
Crikey.
It's unbelievable that we've allowed this to happen. As most people have pointed out, like, the idea of Wednesday night football just sounds insane. Like, let's go play on Wednesday. Let's start the season on Wednesday. Yay.
See, cool. I will say that, like, by the time it comes, I'm like, oh, sweet. We got football tonight and we got football tomorrow. Okay, I'll take that. But, I mean, it's
stupid. We're not that far away from, like, just having an opening week in the NFL. They're going to be like, here's the Monday game, the Tuesday game, the Wednesday game. We're just going to roll through the whole week.
Just like MLB.
Yeah.
You know, it's like game every night.
There's football every day. How about that?
Yeah. But, the Australia thing is also, like, that is – I mean, this is not flying over to Germany or London.
No, that's a long way away.
That's far.
I mean, that is, like, the next week. I guarantee you –
a whole different day.
Like, we're going to watch this carefully. But, like, I would bet against both of those teams the next week.
It says, like, that's the other thing. You're starting the season. So it's not like there's a bye week the next week. Now, I understand, like, if you start on Wednesday, I mean, theoretically, you get done, you had extra time to get back. But it's a 16-hour flight.
Yeah.
That's a long flight.
Yeah, man. Like,
it's a lot of equipment to take that far.
Like, how much, I mean, to me, if I'm either of those teams, and maybe this has been reported, like, I'm going like 4 or 5 days in advance, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're so messed up if you don't. I mean, you certainly they'll probably do about the same as the other one, so there's not any big advantage. Yeah, and then you get to come home and be completely turned around and messed up. I mean, yeah, like you said, like there's no point in complaining anymore about the international thing. Like it's going to happen. Again, it's like people who kind of miss the point, even like a Bad Bunny. It's like if you have one of the top artists in the world, then like that is the point. They're trying to hit all corners of the planet with the NFL.
Yeah, I mean they're greedy and they've capped about as much of America as they can at this point. In America, how else can it go up anymore as far as popularity, ratings, money?
It'd be hard.
So they got to find revenue streams elsewhere.
Well, they don't have to. Like they could also just be happy that they dominate the world. But of course they're
going
to. Yeah, of course we can't do that.
So their market value is international. They, you know, NFL internationally has taken a back seat to most of the other ones, professional sports, even though it's the most popular here.
Yeah, I mean, so. I don't know. Like, yeah, what kind of impact is it making? I mean, we've had NFL Europe that went away. You know. Like, they get good crowds at these games, but, like, has it carved it all into the Premier League?
I don't know about that. Like, I know that there are, like, random people in Ireland who, like, root for the Titans, right? Like, it's in some ways, I guess, similar to how, I mean, there are all sorts of people around here that wake up at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning and wander out there and watch the Premier League.
Get right? all
like,
mad about Tottenham. Yeah, oh, exactly. My Hotspurs! Damn you!
Exactly.
Like, so, why do you care this much?
By the way, apparently this game that is either going to start on the Wednesday or the Thursday is going to be an 8:30 or 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time start, which would be 10:30 or 11 the next day in Melbourne, so in the morning. So
nice. Like 11
early
nice
morning football. In
11 a.m., you know,
yeah.
SEC kickoff, you know, Vandy, Kentucky. 11 a.m. on SEC Network.
And apparently they're trying to wrestle, like they're wrestling between the Wednesday and Thursday because on the one hand, like if you gave the Rams and Niners the Wednesday game, it gives them more time to recover before the next week after the long travel.
Yeah.
But if you do it that way, then it changes the tradition of the defending Super Bowl champs opening the season. So they're debating back
and how long is this tradition? 6 years?
I don't know.
Get out of here.
That's apparently what they're trying to figure out here. But I guess we'll find out in May when they release the schedule.
Well, as long as we can't have any negative report cards on anybody in the NFL, everything is great. Everything is awesome.
Yep. Good stuff. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your reaction to that with the international game coming up in Melbourne. We'll get back into our basketball question of the day, which is which team, which programs, which school would you rather have for the next 5 years, Tennessee or Vanderbilt? All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.